Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Today is April 12, 2023, and this is a special meeting of the Board of Trustees. At this time, I would like to have Ms. Rivers do a roll call vote. Do the roll call so we can establish quorum. Sorry. There'll be nothing to vote on tonight, I don't believe. So, Ms. Rivers, if you're available.
Chairman Bell.
Here.
Trustee Clyburn.
Here.
Dr. Berzine. Trustee Shelton. Trustee Grossinger, who is here, but we cannot see him, but he can see all of us.
Okay.
Dr. Harris.
Here.
Dr. Jarvis.
Here.
Dr. Musgrove. Trustee Scott. He's also here, but I'm not sure he can unmute. Trustee Scott. Dr. Rudd. General Schwartz.
Here.
Dr. Tard. Trustee White Richardson. President Mason. Chief of Staff Guillory. General Counsel Russell. CAO Potter.
Present.
Chief Student Development and Success Officer Latham. COO Franklin. Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you so much for that, Ms. Rivers. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this meeting, special meeting tonight of the Board of Trustees. As I was sharing with Trustee Berzone, the purpose of tonight's meeting is to get an update on the presidential search that has been going on to find a new president for the university. As you will hear momentarily, it seems to be going well. I wanted to just take a moment to reflect on where we've been and how we got to this point. You know, after President Mason shared that he would be stepping down in June of 2023, it became incumbent upon the trustees to search for and find a new president of the university. Towards that end, we put out an RFP to find a company that could help us with that search. And I'm very pleased to say that President Mason, as well as Trustee Scott and Dr. Kreider, all helped to review the RFPs that were submitted for that process. And the resulting company that was selected was Greenwood Asher & Associates. And our point of contact from that, from Greenwood Asher & Associates, is Marion French. And Marion has been an absolute delight to work with throughout this process. After we had the RFP, I set about to form a search committee, and it's very hard to get a representative body because everyone has an interest and everybody wants to be involved. But we tried as best as we could to form a committee that would be representative of various constituencies and interests within our university community. The presidential search committee is chaired by Trustee Mignon Clyburn and former chair of the UDC board, Dr. Elaine Kreider. Other members of the search committee are Andrea Adams, Maria Bird, Renee Hutchins, former dean of the law school, Paul Tin, Dean Devas, Trustees Grossinger and Trustee Harris, our student trustee, Dr. Tanya Harris, and Eugene Kinlaw. Mashonda Smith, who was the dean of workforce housing, was also on the search committee originally, but she had to step down due to conflicts. So she was replaced by Dean Hamilton from the community college. So other than that, there have been no changes to the search committee. I'm very pleased at the diversity of the search committee and the different communities that are represented in the search committee. And we have a process that we're trying to create where we'll be able to get even more input as we do the interviews when we get to that point in our search process. I want to thank again President Mason for his help. You know, he helped to expedite the RFP process so that we could get this done before he leaves. And he was instrumental in terms of helping to give me guidance on members of the committee as well in his opinion. So I appreciate that. Although we have this wonderful and robust committee, I left off Trustee Grossinger. I'm sorry, he's also on the search committee. I apologize for that, I think. Although we have this wonderful search committee, the ultimate task for selecting the president falls to the Board of Trustees. And so we are going to now hear from Marion French about the status of the search, where things are, and she will be able to entertain questions as well. And we've got the two co-chairs, Dr. Kreider and Mignon Clyburn on as well, Trustee Clyburn, as well on to answer questions if needed. So at this point, I'd like to yield the floor to Marion French, unless there's any questions for me at this point. Okay. Seeing none, hearing none, Ms. French, the floor is yours.
Chairman Bell, good afternoon, trustees. I have a PowerPoint that I would like to share with you to help illustrate what I'm going to discuss. So give me a moment. Let me bring this up. Is everyone able to see my screen?
Yeah.
Okay, great, thank you. All right, so initially we started working with an administrative team, the co-chairs and the administrative team at the university on this process around late September, early November. We came in for our first listening session on November 9th, and during the month of November, December, January, March, and I actually have one more session in April, we have been collecting feedback from all of your stakeholders, internal as well as external. This information has been used to develop the documents that we have been using to recruit with. One of the things that we have done during this process is to conduct, over that time, we conducted over 20 listening sessions. And the listening sessions were to gather input and inform the search committee in a transparent way of the feedback from the community. And that information was used to develop the position profile. It was used for recruitment conversations. We focused on it when we were developing interview questions, referencing questions, and it can be used during the onboarding process. And I'm going to discuss several themes that came up from the feedback. The methodology we used standard questions, which were asked of individuals who participated in the virtual sessions or in-person sessions. And we also had a survey running at the same time. So during those months that I previously mentioned, your community was able to go to the survey. Even if they attended a virtual session, they could still go to the survey and answer the questions that was put out in the virtual meetings. The questions covered attributes, competencies, interpersonal competencies, short, long-term goals, challenges, opportunities, and any other additional points about UDC that they felt a candidate should be aware of. And all of this information, again, went into the position description. This is an overview of the groups that we contacted. My last meeting is with Mayor Bowser, and that is scheduled for the 26th. It was originally scheduled in March, but unfortunately she was unable to keep that appointment because of other responsibilities, and she was very kind to give me time in April. So what day? On the 26th, I will be meeting with her. The process that we followed is displayed here, and I'm just giving you the months. We went through the planning sessions when we reached out to the community. A lot of it was done in November and December before you did a break. We also started recruitment during the time of January. We initially started in soft recruitment in December. However, because of the holidays right after Thanksgiving, things got very quiet. People really disconnected. And in early January, there were a lot of meetings, association meetings. So we really started getting really heavy feedback from our outreach that happened during the holiday season after Martin Luther King. And that's when the recruiting really took off. During that time, we heard, let's see here. Okay. Just to give you an overview, the advertisement was placed in November, and UDC coordinated the placement of the ad in the Higher Ed Jobs, Inside Higher Education, the Chronicle of Higher Education, Diverse Issues in Higher Education, and Greenwood Asher also put the ad and job description on our career page website. And we promoted the position through our LinkedIn page. Applications started coming in heavy. Our outreach calls were placed. We made over 423 contacts talking about this opportunity. We reached out to large and medium master's institutions, as well as R1, R2, and R3 universities. We received a lot of non-traditional nominations coming in from our outreach, and we had a very broad pool. So our outreach was directed to colleges and universities that are members of the Coalition of Urban and Metropolitan Universities, APLU. We also reached out to the top HBCUs according to U.S. News and World Report. We focused on individuals, academic administrators who were in position of presidents, provosts, deans of business, law, engineering. We received nominations for local institutions. And we also included system level administrators, and those administrators or candidates had to demonstrate experience in knowledge of the community, political engagement. We also looked for urban university experience, enrollment management, fundraising, and general administrative management experience. The feedback that we received from individuals centered on very positive points about the institution. People were either up to date and aware of what was going on and the changes that occurred at UDC under the current administration, or we had to educate them on what has been happening at UDC. A significant segment of of the prospect pool needed to be educated. A lot of people had in their minds what was in the press before President Mason took over. The concerns that we heard from potential candidates, especially sitting presidents, concern confidentiality. There were concerns about faculty salary, enrollment decline, the branding issue, and there were questions about capital campaign. The diversity of the pool surpassed the national numbers. So just for example, our outreach, 40% were to females, 60% to males, in terms of other ethnicities, 48% to African Americans, 2% Hispanic Latino, 39% Caucasian, 3% Asian, and 9% international. We were able to develop a diverse pool of candidates for your committee to review and move forward through the process. We have completed first round interviews. The committee identified a diverse group of individuals to interview, and we are moving into the reference feedback, the due diligence process, where we're looking to gather information regarding referencing and doing background checks in preparation for the campus visits and potential selection in May. So getting into the specifics around the themes, this is an overview of what came in through all of the sessions. And I'm hoping everyone can see this. Is there anyone who is just on a phone and listening? Okay. So I'm not gonna read each and everything here, but basically an overview of the personal attributes that students, faculty, staff, internal, external stakeholders talked about was someone who was going to be able to effectively navigate the governance, the layers of governance within the organization, be able to connect successfully with your outside stakeholders, be able to be comfortable speaking with individuals at the C-suite level, effective communicating with the mayor's office, the city council, someone who is going to be able to work with all sectors of your community and effectively tell your story, inspire others, and be very action-oriented while being humble. They want someone who has ego under control and will be able to be approachable and compassionate as they lead the institution. Are there any questions about any of the attributes that are listed here in terms of what it might be connected to?
Ms. French?
Yes.
I didn't completely understand what you were saying about diversity. Do you mind backtracking to that and explaining it a little more, please?
Yes. Typically, we work to develop a diverse pool of applicants so that you are able to not only have individuals who represent different ethnic groups, but also we worked on bringing you a diverse group of individuals by positions, experience, background, types of institutions. So that's basically what I was talking about. And the numbers that I was giving you was just the percent, the representation of our outreach into the market to build that diverse pool.
I see. You felt it was a little less diverse than usual, or?
No, your pool of candidates was, I think, very diverse. I would have loved to have a few more women represented in the pool, but we actually did have a very diverse pool in the main body of candidates, of active candidates that your committee reviewed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ms. French, I had a question. Maybe I should.
Yes, Chairman Bell, please.
Oh, thank you.
You mentioned that you were doing surveys as well when there were events going on, meeting with various stakeholders and constituencies. I'm curious, do you have at your fingertips just kind of the raw numbers? I'd like to get a sense of the numbers of participants that have been contacted or that responded by survey.
Yes, I don't have the raw numbers because I didn't coordinate it or hosted the events to keep track. I think maybe Franika might have those raw numbers, but we can definitely get them because UDC hosted it. I think the last time I was given numbers, it was approaching 200 plus individuals, but I don't have the exact numbers.
Thank you.
Yes.
And it goes back to something you said earlier, not so much with the theme, but two things I want you to clarify for me. You saying that when you talk to the candidates or concerns from the candidate, one thing they talk about was branding issue. Can you tell me a little bit more what you mean by branding issue? And the other thing was you had to do significant education had to be done on the institution. What did you mean by that? I mean, can you explain that a little bit more for me?
Yes. We know UDC is an HBCU urban land grant public institution. So people knew it was public. A lot of people understand that the lease wasn't registering with a lot of people. And they still, a lot of people thought about UDC and the way it was viewed many years ago as just a community college. And the pieces in terms of educating people, it's just basically, you know, all the information you put in the job description was talking about all of the things that were done successfully under the current administration and helping them move away from the view they have of UDC as just being a community college to more of recognizing it as its own system. And I'm sorry, what was the other part of that question? Did I answer everything? What am I missing?
I think you said it was branding as well.
The branding was connected to that, that it's a community college.
Yeah, the branding is that they thought it was a community college. Or it operated as a community college, or did it say it seemed like a community college?
All three. Depending upon who I spoke with, they did not really, there were some people out there that didn't really recognize it as a four-year institution. So when we started talking about all of the different components of the institution, that and another piece of the branding, we were talking about leveraging the location and, you know, using that as one of the things that they can think about coming into the role of president and being responsible for maybe taking a look at branding. And that was what we talked about. Like America's University, its location in Washington, D.C., the fact that it is the only public land grant institution in the District of Columbia, those kinds of things we talked about as it related to branding. And they didn't really have that in their mind prior to the phone call. They just thought about it as a community college.
Trustee Jarvis.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you asked the candidates if they had actually gone to the website, and I wonder if you also informed them that there had been a branding analysis done under the current administration.
I was not aware that a branding analysis had been done under the current administration. And I did provide them with information to drive them to the university website. Yes.
I guess what I'm asking is whether you knew whether they were curious enough to actually go to the website themselves, or if they came, hopefully the candidates that you will present had enough curiosity to themselves go to the website. I'm just interested to know if you queried them on that.
Yes.
I'm misinterpreting the answer that Ms. French gave. So, you know, to me, there's sort of two classes of, you know, with the outreach, there was, I think, less familiarity. I took from her answer that she was speaking more in general with, you know, when they were doing their calls, without getting too specific. But the candidates that apply were very much familiar with the landscape. So to differentiate with, you know, the outreach with, you know, people having varied degrees of familiarity versus the applicants who definitely were aware of the landscape in the composition in the makeup of our campus and our system.
Sure. Sure, I understand what you are saying, that there were two sets of people that we're really talking about.
And Marion, if I'm mischaracterized, but that's what I have gleaned from this process.
Did not mischaracterize, that's correct.
And may I just ask one more question? Is the branding study on the website, or does anybody know the answer to that?
I don't believe it is, but I am.
I can move over Leanne Hall, who's the VP of Marketing and Communications, if you'd like me to.
I don't know, Dr. Parker.
I'm sorry, Franika. I don't know that we heard what you said, Franika.
Vice President Leanne Hall, who's over Marketing and Communications, she's on the line. I can unmute her if that would be helpful.
That would be helpful. Thank you.
Just one moment. Ms. Hall, I've made you a panelist if you're able to unmute yourself.
Good evening, everyone. I actually, unfortunately, the branding study predates me, so I will find out and I will put the link in the chat.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair or Madam Chair.
Questions before I move on? Okay. Let's see.
How fast did you find this lack of knowledge about today's UDC?
I would say probably close to 40% of my conversations, people were telling me that they did not realize it was, and the knowledge varied. Often I heard people telling me that they were not aware of all the great things that has been happening at UDC over the years under President Mason.
Thank you. So that's a high priority for this new president. The image upgrading. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. One of the questions we asked was related to short-term goals. And some of these short-term goals also was listed under long-term goals. The top pieces next to resource development was the next thing would be marketing, branding, and enrollment. Again, that was reflected in the calls that I had with individuals. That branding piece came up again. Your constituents also talked about expanding the program offerings. They had examples of different programs, including health care. Enforcement of accountability and equity. There was a general theme that there was a need for greater accountability, not just among the faculty, but also among leadership. Recruitment, retention, and graduation rates, getting them up, that was short-term and long-term. The salary of the faculty came into play, that was a major theme. The morale of the faculty and their trust in leadership. Every short and long-term also included housing and dorms. At one point, there was a specific building across the street from the student center that came up in the feedback. Of course, again, financial stability, and that was linked to faculty salaries more than a few times. Continuing to improve the ranking, increasing the capacity for the faculty by bringing on more faculty to do research and actually doing the research, allowing the faculty to have the financial support and the equipment. Creating pipelines for employment through the community college and providing those pathways over to the university. Increasing the strength of the partnership and relationship with the mayor and the city council. On short and long term, we heard about accessibility issues from the students and improving customer service to the students. Let's see, of course, increasing fundraising. A couple of times we heard about using athletics, short and long term, as a doorway into the university, leveraging the assets you all have in that area, and just general overall improvement or continuing improvement of the infrastructure and efficiencies. Long term goals. Housing, expanding that on-campus housing, continuing to make progress towards the R2 designation, and the accountability piece was also connected to that. The service to all 8 wards, they talked about, the survey had information about access in all the wards, and it was connected to developing programs and offering those programs in online or hybrid versions that would cover all the wards. Assess and eliminate weaknesses was tied to looking at programs that are not up to date and modernized and are not attracting students. Again, heard a lot about fundraising, investments in research, supporting the faculty in that area, developing more partnerships with the business community, providing more internships. We also saw comments about mirroring the work that's been done by other institutions in the district as they move towards carbon neutrality? I think everything else is pretty straightforward. I'm sorry, someone has a question?
Yeah, I'll wait till you're done. I'll be recognized by the chair. I'm listening.
I'm sorry, I don't think my screen, I can't tell who had a question, but who just identify yourself.
Sure, it's Charlene.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought someone spoke before you, Charlene. Yes, Trustee Jarvis, please go ahead.
So,
yes, you can proceed, yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I wondered, again, this goes back to whether there was a review of the webpage. I wonder if candidates were aware that there had been a strategic plan, and I'm wondering if any of the candidates mentioned that they wanted to do a strategic plan, long-term and short-term goals, and especially since a strategic plan requirement is in the contract. Now, I'm not certain that any candidate would have seen the contract, but that's a provision in the current contracts. So I'm just wondering if there were candidates who did talk about strategic planning.
Yes, the candidates under consideration, they all talked about strategic planning, that is something that they are interested in doing and see that as a part of their duty. So everyone was comfortable with that.
But you didn't find people who were aware that there had been one?
People were aware that there had been a strategic plan and people were aware that they have been the strategic plan, and they look forward to taking over that role, and they have experience doing strategic planning.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Marion, I just want to make sure, I think what you're saying here is that these were just general themes that were coming up among the candidates about ideas that they had about the university, things that were of interest to them, right? Because
the listening set.
This is the feedback from the listening session from your stakeholders, internal and external, about what is important to them as they answered the questions on the survey or spoke with us during the listening sessions.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you. Just wanted to clarify. I appreciate that.
So again, Chairman Clyburn, that you clarified that for me before, and this chairman is clarifying it now. Mm-hmm. Two different groups.
Right. Yeah. It's sort of a build to, you know, what informed the process.
Yeah.
But it has added, you know, some of the things we heard during some previous exchanges during our retreat. This is in some ways augmenting and cementing some of the things that we've heard, and that is informing when we hear from candidates, that is informing, you know, our process also. Just wanted to confirm that. But this is what we're hearing from the people, you know, that are, you know, have a relationship and an interest in the next series of steps the college is taking. So this is what Marion is sharing with you. That, again, is informing our next steps.
Yeah. Thank you again.
Your internal and external stakeholders identify the following things as issues and challenges. Again, the image of the institution, the decline in enrollment, and the reputation of the university came up frequently. Again, recruitment, retention, and graduation rates that they need to improve. The low morale of the faculty and their perception of neglect from the city. There is concern that unless there are changes regarding faculty salary,
staff salary, that there is a question about the retention of employees and students. Students as it relates to just being able to have the programs, you have faculty for the programs that they're interested in. An issue and a major challenge is, again, housing. The survey also had information about the demographic shift that is occurring in the district and how that shift is going to affect UDC, that needs to be looked at, monitored, and addressed. The competition, general competition, from the institutions, the private institutions, as well as the other HBCU in the district. Concern about growing research at the capacity to conduct it. The facilities themselves need to be upgraded. Students are concerned about the cost. They're still concerned about COVID, and they don't feel like there are as many connections, and some people have no connections on campus since they're not living on campus. Again, customer service overall, primarily to the students, is an issue and a major challenge. The technology, there were comments about space in terms of some departments do not have the required classroom space. They're dealing with that. The general value of a college education in the United States is something that is coming, that is being dealt with right now. So the next president needs to be aware of that as a challenge. Strengthening the engagement with DC public schools, parents, alums, government, students, making sure that the president is going to fully engage with those stakeholders. Overall campus climate and culture, there seems to be a question about the ability of faculty and staff to do remote work, that is something that is not going away, and the new president needs to be prepared to have his administration deal with that. Economics, the cost of living in DC, general leadership in terms of how it, the mode of operation, they would like more consistency. It appears that sometimes it's more reactive than planning things out. And that there needs to be a stronger sense of accountability and increasing partnerships with relevant stakeholders. I mentioned it before, the business community, public school system, other institutions of higher education were mentioned. So all types of partnerships. Some of the opportunities that were identified for this next president is being able to put their stamp on the strategic plan and the university overall, that they're going to be setting the direction for the next 10 years, building a leadership team that is prepared for the challenges that are coming, building a rapport with the stakeholders, building up that trust factor, not just within the institution, but also external stakeholders. Definitely fundraising. There are naming opportunities to be had. So hopefully that will help the next president with fundraising.
So, Marianne, let me ask for a take a slight pause here to ask, you know, if we would, we've got, I think, one or two more slides, you know, left. You know, if the trustees and interested parties would, you know, read over and see if they have any particular questions about the bullets. This is very informative, and we would be glad if it's not a violation of the if there's no tension within the body, Marianne, to share these slides. I think some of the points are very informative to let once again let us know what our stakeholders are saying. Anything else, one or two things on this particular slide, Marianne, that you thought was a lead takeaway? You know, often you do things prioritization, and the first four are definitely, but with this one and the next slide, was there anything else on this slide, you know, to allow for more discussion? We did have a question in the audience. Is there anything else, Marianne? And I'm trying to man the comment section so you don't have to. Anything else on this slide that you think we need to pay special attention to that's enumerated?
It's the growth and development of programs and the opportunity to look at micro-credentialing as a revenue generator.
Okay. Now, Ms. Arlene, I think, but for your benefit, Mary, if you could once again go over the diversity of the pool of candidates, and Ms. Arlene also wanted to have a gender update if you are permitted to give that. Again, the diversity of the pool with a special emphasis on women candidates that showed interest.
The active candidate pool was 32% female, 68% male, 78% African American, 9% Caucasian, 2% Asian, 9% international. That was the yield from our outreach.
Thank you. And Ms. Mary, if we can continue to the next slide.
Your constituents identify these sorts of things that they want the candidates to know. Again, this is beyond, a lot of this is in the job description, but there was just additional things beyond what were key components that were listed in the job description.
Thank you. Again, this particular slide I found very, you know, encouraging. That, you know, there are people who do recognize what is going on right on campus. Are there any particular bullets that I was trying to continue to read what Ms. Arlene was saying, but any particular things that you want, do you have a question on this particular slide in terms of what the candidates, you know, should know and what we were especially looking for? Ms. Arlene, I don't know if I'm 100%, you know, we were trying to be very transparent in terms of who made, you know, the first cut. If you could, you know, allow a little bit more grace on that, we'll answer that as soon as we can. I don't know. We were just trying to give a broad overview. But we'll answer that question as soon as we can. Thank you. I appreciate your grace. Ms. Barrett, any other, Ms. Esther?
Thank
Sorry,
you.
Ms. Chair, I'm not taking over. I just,
No, that's fine.
I did.
Go ahead, Dr. Erzman.
I find percentages don't reveal a lot if I don't know what the total field is. And if it's an inappropriate question, just don't answer. But what was the total pool of candidates from which we're getting this 70% African-American, 32% female? What was the total universe of candidates?
The total number of applications, 76.
76. Do you consider that a lot or a few?
I think it's appropriate for the position.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We were looking at what candidates should know, right? Before.
Yes, ma'am.
Correct. Yeah, that's the last slide. Maybe in your deck, Marion. Any questions about that?
Oops, Esther.
I put it back.
Thank you. Trustees, are there any questions about the slides that Marion has presented? This is again guidance and information from stakeholders and what they understand about the university and what they would like to see and things that we should be considering for the next president. A lot of this I think we're familiar with. A lot of this we think we've seen. We're addressing it in our branding campaign, our marketing campaigns, and in our fundraising, in our outreach and our attempts to grow the enrollment. But I'm curious if any trustees have any questions before Marion continues about what we've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, Dr. Kreider, yes.
I'm so sorry. I know I'm not a trustee anymore, but I just want to respond.
We can change that.
I don't think so. Then they've done that. I'd like to respond, though, to the question that Trustee Jarvis raised about strategic planning, because as I recall from the interviews, just about all of the candidates knew that there had been a strategic planning exercise and program, and many of them surprised me in that they were able to quote some of the language that came directly out of the strategic plan. So that said to me that candidates really did do their research and that they were trying to be informed about what was going on at the university. And that was very encouraging in looking at the pool of candidates that we saw. So I just wanted to go back. I'm sorry about that, Marion, but I thought that it was fair to be able to say and let people know that these candidates really had researched us and done some of their homework. And they were, many of them were impressed, I think, with the strategic plan, although they recognized that there needed to be either an enhanced strategic plan or follow up on a strategic plan or a new strategic planning process. But I didn't want to minimize the fact that they recognized all the work that went into the current strategic plan. I think that's all I'll say right now, Mr. Chair.
No, well, thank you, Dr. Absolutely right. She's absolutely right.
Thank you for the information. Very much appreciated, Dr. Kreider. There's a question in the chat from Laverne Gooding Jones asking if about collective bargaining and its importance to UDC and the city. You talked about, I saw some references to faculties and unions, but I don't know if you can elaborate any more on that, if that was a topic that came up from stakeholders or was discussed. Marion? You're on mute.
It did come up from stakeholders, but it came up primarily through our virtual conversations. And we did incorporate that information into the job description as well as our questioning of candidates. So I would say, and co-chairs, please speak up, that we did treat that as a key piece as we were evaluating the applicants and recruiting for the position.
Absolutely. And I don't know if Ken, I will out, and I usually don't, but I will out Ken on this, who absolutely brought this forth as a priority, because we knew, Laverne, just how important this particular line item or issue, is to our system. So Ken can beat me up later, but I just wanted to affirm that.
I don't know if you were asking. I don't know if you were asking me to say anything. I don't think anything needs to be said about that. Other than that, that was an explicit question that we asked to get a sense of their range of experience with unions. Some had it, some didn't. Some had some. It was pretty much across the board experience, but it was a clear discussion item in each of the interviews.
Hey, Scott has a question. Now I'm going to have to lean on Elaine on this one. Did anyone talk about the commercial or the other associated space with the university? Elaine, I don't know if you can see. I don't remember that.
That question didn't come up. None of the candidates asked that question. And I don't think any of the responses led itself to further discussion around the area of open space here on campus. Right. And I did forget one other thing. Somebody asked about the applicants from the last time, and I think it was Trustee Barazzani, and I think I just lost what I was going to say about it, because there were... I think
the numbers
that apply.
I think it was numbers that applied. And but what I was going to say is, as I recall from the prior search, you know, what, 8, 10 years ago, the pool of applicants that we had this time around was significantly larger than the pool of applicants that came in the last time. And I suspect that really reflects the positivity of the view of the university now that it was when, Ron first came in. And, you know, we had weathered all of the, other press and stuff like that in the past. And so I think the fact that we had significantly higher numbers of applications last time reflects that. Lower numbers of applications last time compared to what we had this time.
Super. And I will co-sign, because almost to a person, there was affirmation and, a reciting of the fact, that over the last several years, what has been built, the equity imperative, Dr. Mason moving, I can't think of a candidate that did not in some form, shape or form, mention that evolution over the past 5 to 7 years. So that to me was a positive, through this process, the wider universe might have been a little less informed, but those who went into the portal to add their name for consideration to a person made reference to this. So I just wanted to affirm that before we sign off.
Thank you. And my recollection also was that this was quite large as opposed to the previous search that was done. So thank you for confirming that, Dr. Kreider. Barrington, Trustee Scott, I'm not sure if your question was answered. Your hand is raised. So I don't know if you have another question.
I think he's in perpetual because he's having some communications issues. So I think it's been up since the he was checking in, and there he goes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Mary, we'll give it back to you then, the floor.
I will bring it to a close in terms of the overview of the process thus far. So I turn it back over to you and the trustees. If you all have any additional questions, I will try to answer them.
Trustees, any additional questions?
I think Jerome is looking to ask.
My question is, what's the timeline that we're trying to work through? It seems I missed something, and so I'm trying to catch up.
completed round one interviews. We are in the process of due diligence, and we are working to a closure process that will take place the week of May 7th.
When you say closure process, that means you're going to give us something as to who the best recommendations are? And we're expected to make a decision when?
After the series of interviews, after the interviews. So what's happening right now, because I'm a bit more southern and plain spoken, even though Marion's family is more southern than mine, if truth be told. But the southern South American South, I will affirm this, that when she talks about the due diligence, that's background and reference checks to make sure that what we perceive and what has been offered to us is accurate. Trustee Shelton, then we will have a calendar, and we do have a question, an outstanding question or a recommendation to you on the front that you're mentioning, then a slimmer number, a manageable number of candidates will be forwarded you for consideration, and that single digit May that Marion just put forth would be the time that the community, to include the trustees, would meet those candidates.
And Trustee Shelton, there was the PowerPoint that you were working from, Marion, I don't think had been shared, but on there was the timeline from where they started back in September, November, all the way through May. So with specific decision points and things that will be happening along there. So we'll make sure that gets out so people can see that. Okay, Trustee Musgrove had a question.
Elaine, because I'm talking too much, Trustee Scott was asking how many candidates will come before the Board of Trustees? Elaine?
We bought three before the board the last time, and I think it would be something that would be consistent with that number around three, maybe three to five at most, is what we would bring to the trustees and for their consideration and final vote. But I just wanted to recognize that Trustee Musgrove has her hand up.
Oh, I apologize, madam. Ms. Mildred, and I took my glasses off, so.
Again, I take mine off, so I couldn't see the screen. Just a question. You said we had a total of 76 applicants. After round one, did that number go down?
Yes, it did.
Was it a big drop?
I would say that yes, it was a big drop because there was a decision about how many people to interview. And it was a robust number of individuals that was interviewed. And now we are looking at a smaller group of individuals to reference so that we can bring you the minimum of three.
Okay. And I guess I want to know what's in the smaller group. How many in that smaller group that we're talking about?
At this point, we are looking at five individuals.
Okay. Thank you.
Trustee Jarvis? I'm sorry, Mr.
Chairman. Trustee Shelter, were you going to say something? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. You said Trustee Jarvis.
I did want to ask a question. When the last group of candidates was presented to the public, and I wonder if that's going to be the case this time.
Arlene asked that question too about, and I always get this wrong, what's the process that was developed, an open process? It starts with a J?
Uh, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, are you asking me the question about what the process was?
Right. We anticipate an open process with the opportunity for internal different stakeholders to be. I can't remember the name of it. It starts with a J, but the answer is yes. that this will.
Those details are to be. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. Okay.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off if you weren't finished. Well, I was going to say, Trustee Jarvis, is that the final candidates, they will be brought to the university, and the idea is that they will spend a full day meeting with faculty, students, other stakeholders. Trustees will be meeting with them as well, and then after that, there will be further discussion. So the final candidates, whatever that number is, at that point, when it's clear that they're ready to be the confidentiality is no longer a concern, they will go public. Absolutely.
There's a term of art that we call that internally that is not coming to me. So the answer is yes for that.
Okay.
Caroline asked about those who had experience with the middle state process. I remember that being on, Marion, I can't remember the numbers. So I don't remember the numbers, Caroline. But I remember that being, reviewing the applications, that there were definitely more than three that had we determined and revealed that they were very much familiar with the middle state process. Mary, but I can't. I just know it's north of three, but I don't think.
All of your candidates have experience with accreditation. Some of them are reviewers for the accrediting body. They have that experience. So they have all different levels of experience.
Right. And there are at least three to that point that made mention that were explicit about it, I guess.
Thank you. Trustee Shelton, did you have something you wanted to ask?
In the past, I guess you're going to get it down to five or three. Is there going to be an opportunity for me as a trustee to do my own due diligence on the candidates that you are recommending? In the past, I do an assessment of each candidate that I'm aware of, and I give them a score as to who I would support and who I won't support as a president of the university. So I'm interested in the opportunity to do my own assessment, my own contacting their references and things like that, which I did in the past. And I'm wondering if that opportunity will be afforded to us.
Well, that's an interesting question, Trustee Shelton. So, when we get it down to three, five, whatever it is, I think trustees can do due diligence. I was not aware that trustees were contacting the references, because that's what Marion does, and as well as criminal background checks, credentialing, and all that sort of stuff to review that. So I'm gonna have to think about whether the references could also be contacted as well, because I just don't know the appropriateness of that. But certainly your desire to review information about the candidates and understand the information, but I think it can be accommodated. Mary, did I speak out of line there?
Or would you like to add anything to that?
Okay.
I have nothing to add.
Thank you. Trustee Barazzone? Oh, and then we'll go to Dr. Kreider.
I don't know how to raise my hand. I apologize. My beloved mechanical hand. I just, philosophically, everyone may differ with me, but this is my first experience with a search in a sunshine law situation. But as I understand it, it's very difficult for candidates to come into a sunshine law situation anyway. And it seems to me that five is far too many anyway.
I don't want to interrupt.
That's okay, go ahead.
I think the question was, the answer is how many are currently going through the screening process? And then I think Dr. Kreider affirmed to you that in the past, we have offered, the process has netted three for consideration. So,
well, that's great, because okay. I want to say I trust this committee, and I would love to see you bring in fewer. because I think that it focuses the discussion and it helps us reach some community consensus more quickly. And I think if I were a candidate in the search, I would really like to have fewer people, and I sure would like to have only official pathways checking my credentials. So that's my 2 cents worth on this one.
Yeah. Thank you. Why don't we go to Dr. Kreider, because I think he can elaborate.
I wanted to, again, go with the search that we did the last time. And if there were trustees that completed their own due diligence, it was on their own. There was not built into the process the last time where trustees would go out and check references and things like that. But, you know, there have always been individuals, trustees or not, on their own, who have been able to gain or gather information about individuals that had applied or were seeking to come to the university. But I would just caution you, and I'm going to try to stay in my lane, but I would just try to caution you from going outside of the process to have individuals that are not a part of the official committee, and in particular, the search firm, reaching out to candidates to check references, especially, you know, because some of the information may be quite sensitive, and, you know, I just don't think that is proper. Go outside that way. And I would advise, in my humble opinion, to not have that happen and just leave it up to the committee and even all of the members of the committee, you know, will not be making calls to candidates to check references. That's not the role of the committee. So the search firm will bring back information to us. But, you know, committee members are not going to be, even Mignon and myself as co-chairs will not be going out and checking references and going out and talking to these individuals about their experiences or criminal backgrounds or anything like that. So, again, I just want to caution against doing something like that. Right. It just muddies the water.
Let me say again, as a member of the committee, I had the resumes of all of the applicants. I don't have that now. I'm asking for an opportunity to at least look at the resumes and review on my own and score on my own the candidates using the process that I've used 2 times prior. I kind of understand and agree with the phone calling of their references. But I would like the opportunity to review their vitas, resumes, whatever you want to call it, so that I can do my scoring on their effort to be the president of my university.
Trustee, there's nothing in this process that will prevent you from having ample time to review those, view the applications, and we can work out how, you know, much in advance. You know, with the search.
That was my original question, Mignon.
We're on the same page, sir. We're on the same page, sir. You will get them in advance. You will have the opportunity to review. You will have the opportunity to speak with the candidates. And nobody is saying, you know, the day of you have to vote. So anyway, we are absolutely on the same page,
Mignon,
with the exception of the references. There's no tension here.
No, there's. I'm asking so that I'll understand my timeline.
Okay.
When are we expected to make a decision on the president?
Well, Ron is leaving in June of 2023. Right now, the tentative plan is that on-campus interviews and visits for the candidates would occur sometime in May. So after those visits, but before June, is when a decision would need to be made, unless there's some reason to extend.
Then you're saying we're going to be calling a special board meeting for that purpose?
We absolutely can, yes.
Well, I mean,
the contract will have to be approved by the board. The trustees will approve the president. Whether we'll do it by a board meeting or executive committee and ratification, we'll figure it out. But the process is that sometime in May, the new president, he or she will be selected. And we will have board sign off on that decision, as we always do.
But you're not sure when
there is a board meeting scheduled for June 6th. I'm sorry, this is Avis Rossum. There is meeting scheduled for June 6th.
Thank you so much, General Counsel Russell.
That's what I was asking as an idea of when we would be coming, making a determination, and what the steps were between that point and now. I was worried that we were trying to do something at our next board meeting, and that concerned me. That's all.
No, our next board meeting is in April, and so we're not doing that because we will not have the candidates even selected by then. But after the on-campus
visits, likely vetted.
Yeah. So sometime in May is when the candidates, if we stick to this schedule, will be presented to the public. You'll be able to do research and assess the candidates based on the information provided from the committee as well. And then at the June meeting, ideally, is when the new president, she or he, will be selected. I mean, approved by the board, sorry. And I just wanted to echo a point. Esther, our preference, or my preference, would also be that it would be three, down to three. That's what's worked in the past. And so hopefully we'll be able to keep that as well, because I don't think anyone wants to do anything besides three as a final number. It gets too unwieldy.
Mr. Chairman, Trustee Grossinger and Trustee Wright Richardson are in queue.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I don't know who was first. Go ahead.
I have to jump, so I just wanted to make two very, very quick comments. One is a tip of my hat to Christopher Bell for appointing what I consider to be an extraordinary committee. Clear-eyed, incisive, committed, there, present. I could go on with the adjectives, but it's just been a good group of people. And I also want to tip my hat to Dr. Kreider and Mignon, who have done an extraordinary job and much more work than all of us to get us to where we are today. So thank you.
Trustee Benhausen, very much appreciated. Trustee White Richardson, you have your hand up.
Question. I'm a shift gear. We're in the selection process, but then you talked to Mike, said something about contract. Who is putting that together? The same committee? Or is that a different committee to work on the contract?
That will be coordinated through the General Counsel's office once the trustees make that decision. We're not working on an active contract right now. So that will come later.
Because I see them as separate pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, selecting the president, no matter who we are, will fit into the contract that we have and that we want. Right. I was just wondering if that was being thought about, talked about, and if so, who? Because that needs to be churning in as well.
That contractual documentation will run through the General Counsel's office, as it's done in the past.
Bill, I'd just like to thank Ms. French for the great work that she has done and for the thorough presentation that she gave tonight to outline all the steps, to give us the salient points that we need that came from our community constituents, and also the timeline for how we move forward and make a final selection. I thank you so very much, and I think it's been very transparent and very interesting. Thank you so much.
Thank you for those comments. I think we can wrap this up, so I'd like to ask if Marion or if either the co-chairs have anything else to say before we adjourn.
I would just like to give my thanks to the co-chairs and Chairman Bell. It's been a pleasure thus far, and I look forward to getting to the completion of this process and meeting your new president.
Thank you. Thank you. Dr. Kreider or Trustee Clyburn, anything?
Recognize that there was a, and maybe you didn't see it, there was a question in the chat, and we did talk about this around faculty engagement in the process. And I think there's a, if I'm not mistaken, Marion, we were going to put that schedule is out there where we had planned to have these campus-wide meetings or whatever, and we had a discussion where we talked about knowing that faculty would leave in mid-May and hopefully and recognizing at the same time that we also lose students. And those two very important constituency groups have to be included in the consideration of, you know, looking at these candidates. And so to answer the question that was posed in the chat, we are aware of that and are, you know, committed to trying to make it happen so that faculty and students are engaged before they leave campus. I think I said that right. Is that right, Marion?
That's correct.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, trustees, I hope that you found this presentation useful to have an idea of what's going on and where things stand. Obviously, there'll be more communications about the process as well, well before May. But I just wanted to give you this chance to have an understanding of where things are at and how they're proceeding. There's a lot of interest in the position. I'm pleased with the numbers that have applied and the work that the committee has done to winnow the list down. I know that there was lots and lots of interviewing and review of candidates that was going on since the applications first came in. So thank you very much for that. Unless there's any further questions, I think we do technically have to do a roll call vote to adjourn since we're on video. So, trustees, anything else? Okay. And seeing them here, sorry that about the chat. It's hard to follow the chat and be engaged in the conversation, so there was no intention to not see questions. So thank you for everyone for pointing those questions out when they exist. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
That's
been moved, and it's been seconded by Trustee Barazzoni. We do need to do a roll call vote in order to adjourn. So, Ms. Rivers, if you're still on, can I ask you to do that, please? Yes.
Trustee Clyburn?
Aye.
Dr. Barazzoni? Trustee Shelton? Trustee Grossinger? Dr. Harris?
Approved.
Dr. Jarvis? Dr. Musgrove?
Yes.
Trustee Scott? I see you here. Dr. Rudd?
Yes.
General Schwartz? Dr. Tard? Trustee White Richardson?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, the motion carries.
Thank you, Ms. Rivers. We appreciate that. Everyone, thank you for participating tonight. We have had active interest in this, and so I'm glad that it seems to be coming along well and look forward to everyone's continued input and involvement as we move closer to a decision. So everyone have a good and blessed night, and we'll be in touch.